Arambha Putisoravya Shantogram Ladibi Pritak Dravya Vayava Vaisham Yad Ganda Eko Vibhidyate. Translation and commentary by Srila Prabhupada. Odor, although one, becomes many as mixed, offensive, fragrant, mild, strong, acidic, and so on, according to the proportions of associated substances. Any questions? No. This verse, these two verses, and many others in this chapter, entitled Fundamental Principles of Material Nature, discuss the various material elements and the effect of their interaction with the senses of the living entities. For example, it's stated here that when the material element of water mixes with the sense of taste, odor is produced. So this is all very interesting with those who have an analytical mind and want to know how and why everything is working within this material creation. Actually, the study, analytical study of material nature, the elements of material nature, which are eight in number, earth, air, fire, water, mind, intelligence, and false ego, is technically, in modern terms, called science. Science is the study of matter and breaking down the very components of matter and how they interact and how they work and so forth and so on. Now, most scientists, not all scientists, but most scientists would probably wonder why a book of this nature, this caliber, Grantaraj, Srimad Bhagavatam, the king of all scriptures, with a stated goal of awakening love for God, has the audacity to speak about the material world and analyze the various material elements and how they're interacting. In other words, what is this book, this religious book, speaking about science? It's out of the league. But the Bhagavatam speaks about these things in great detail. Why? Because they're all connected to Krishna. Yata mahanti bhutani utes ucha vachashmanu pravishthani apravishthani tathateshu natesham. This is one of the chatur shlokas of the Bhagavatam. O Brahma, please know that the universal elements enter into the cosmos and at the same time do not enter into the cosmos. Similarly, I myself also exist within everything created, and at the same time, I'm outside of everything. Srila Prabhupada once said that when an intelligent person hears about material nature, he immediately inquires, whose nature? It's only natural. Because everything is actually owned by someone. When I was a kid, I used to think this is owned here, that's not, and this is all free, and I, no. As you grow up and move around society, move around the world, you come to understand that anything and everything is owned by someone, or they think they own it. For example, this beautiful village of Vrindavan, every square inch of this town is owned by somebody. If you're looking for land to buy here, you see, oh, there's a vacant lot, and someone owns. Some private citizen owns it, some foreigner, now foreigners can own land in India. If not a foreigner or private citizen, then government. If not government, then one gunda. Everything is owned by someone. It's true throughout the whole country. From the Himalayas down to the tip of India. Everything is owned. Every square inch, every particle of dust. Maybe people aren't living on every square inch, but if you go and you start constructing a building on a vacant lot, then eventually someone will come and chase you away, even if you're out in the middle of the Rajasthan desert. All right. This is true for every continent, every country on the planet. Someone can say, well, no one owns the ocean. Actually, there's international law. I think it's 6 kilometers from the shore out into the ocean. That's considered the territory, the watery territory of the country to which it's connected. But beyond 6 kilometers, it's not no man's land. It's international community owns it, you could say, because there's international laws which govern it. You can't go out in the middle of ocean and just do anything you want. Someone's overseeing, directly or indirectly. Presently, they say that the Arctic ice is melting, the polar cap is melting. And now there's furious discussions are going on, who's going to own whatever's exposed, be it water or land. Those countries up there, I don't know, Finland and Norway and Russia, and they're all out there to say, this is going to be ours, because that's a very valuable piece of our area for transportation, etc. And the principle of ownership, somebody owning, everything goes beyond even this planet. All the planets, you were able to go now by mystic power to the planets, you would find the same thing. Different devatas and their followers, and they're all claiming proprietorship over every inch of land throughout the universe and the cosmos. So the point is, everything has an owner. And again, a smart person will inquire when he hears the general term material nature. The scientists are talking about material nature and studying it and analyzing and taking it apart and seeing how it works. An intelligent person says, whose nature is it? Who owns it? If everything is owned by somebody, then who owns the material nature? Whose nature is it? And we have the answer to that question. Aham sabhasya pabhavo matta sarvam pavartate iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samanvita. Krishna says, I am the source of all the spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who perfectly know this engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. Krishna claims proprietorship over everything. We may think it's ours, but it's only ours for a very limited amount of time. Ultimately, it belongs to God. He created it, He's maintaining it, and He's destroying it. He maintains possession of everything at all times. And there's a law, a civil law. Possession is 9/10 of the law. So you have it for how long? A few moments. Maybe you have it for a billion years. You have to give it up. Ultimately, everything belongs to Krishna. So it's important to establish this fact. Whose nature is it? Who owns it? Why? Because every day of our lives, we're utilizing this material nature. From the moment we wake up, from the moment we go to sleep, we're interacting with and utilizing all these material elements which are combined in different ways. Even when we're sleeping, we're using them because they combine together in the form of our bed and our pillow. We have a very intimate relationship with this material nature, unfortunately, by our perverted desire, but very intimate. We fully depend upon this material nature to fulfill our perverted material desires. A very intimate relationship with matter. It's actually embarrassing. very intimate relationship with matter. So it's important to establish who actually owns, whose nature is it? Why? Because if you're using something that doesn't belong to you without that person's permission, you're in trouble. You are in big trouble. Isn't it? Another civil law. If you take something which doesn't belong to you and you utilize it for your own purposes without asking permission, you're in trouble. Often we say, Prabhu, can I borrow this? You can borrow. But remember, to lend is to lose. If you've used something that doesn't belong to you without the permission of the owner, you can be in big trouble. It's like I remember when I was a young boy, I used to like to hike in the Sierra Nevada mountains in California. I was living in San Francisco, and we had the best of it all. I want it all, and I want it now. We had the ocean on one side and the mountains on the other side. And so we used to sometimes go into the Sierra Nevada mountains to hike around, but I remember that it was a little difficult to find a hiking spot because there was always a sign posted. Trespassers will be shot. In big letters. No admittance. Trespassers will be shot. Hey, what's this? So I remember one time me and my friends climbed over the barbed wire fence. Put a mattress there and climbed over there. We're walking around and about 20 minutes later, we heard this shouting from somewhere. We couldn't see where it was coming from. This shouting. All of a sudden, we heard rifle shots and all the dust was kicking up all around us. Boy, did we run home fast. We must have set an Olympic record for the 2-mile dash. So it may have been a rude way of saying, you know, get off my property. But it's a fact that you can't utilize something unless the person who owns it gives you permission. So, I'm not like that. I don't steal. I don't take things that don't belong to me. My parents have taught me. But if you think of the greater aspect, the material nature, whose nature is it? If everything's owned by someone, who owns the greater material nature? Aham savasya pavavo matasar Krishna. You have to take his permission. And if you don't, then what are you? If you take something that doesn't belong to you and you try to enjoy it, what are you? Thief. That word has a very heavy connotation, chore, here in India. I'm not speaking about Krishna's transcendental pastimes where he steals butter and gives great happiness to his devotees by those activities. But the chore, if someone steals in India, you know they beat him. I've seen on several occasions. It's just there in the fabric of the society. Someone's caught stealing, what do? You beat. There's no trial. You don't take them to jail, and hires a lawyer, and there's a court case, and it goes on. Of course, those things do happen. But a thief is caught, immediately, it's punished. Thief is very, you call someone thief, it's very offensive. And Prabhupada said, as a thief is always punishable by the state, we are subject to punishment by taking or utilizing God's property without his express permission. You can say, but look, God has everything. This is all his, so what does it matter? I take little this, little that. He's Bhagavan. He's the owner of all opulences. He's enjoying his transcendental pastimes and the pleasure grows at Vrindavan. He doesn't care a fig for this material world. This is, he describes it himself as his inferior energy. This is his inferior energy. He's enjoying his superior energy. In Vaikuntha, in Golok, in Vrindavan, What does he mind if I take a little of his inferior energy and use it for my own purposes? Who's going to care if I'm, there's big wealthy man and, thank you. There's wealthy man and he owns this whole kingdom, and if I go in one little corner and sit under a tree and build a little hut there, who's going to care? I take that for my own use. Krishna's not going to mind if I... Well, that's not for you to decide. That's for God to decide. It's the owner who makes... Sometimes people, they open up their territory and, you know, they let people use it for some musical festival, or they open their house for their children to have a party, or they... Whatever. But it's under the discretion of the owner. It's not for you to make that decision. So if you take little, it may be serious matter. In Bengali, they say, kira chor, yahina chor, chor to kwahai. Whether one steals a cucumber or a diamond, thief is thief. You can say, I just took cucumber from the market, and this person has taken diamond from the big store in Delhi. Yes, but technically both thieves. We know the famous story of, is it Alexander the Great? He conquered from Asia Minor all the way here to Bharat, to India. And he would hold court, as the kings would sometimes do, to give their audience to the people, to show their power, their control. They would sit amongst the common people and hold court and see what would happen if you did something wrong. Public court, and two thieves were brought. One thief was brought to him, and this thief had stolen a loaf of bread. Alexander wanted to set an example. In my new kingdom, there'll be no thievery. So you have stolen a loaf of bread? Off with your hand. But this was intelligent thief. Many intelligent thieves. They sometimes are called politicians, and they steal lots of money from the government and put it in their pockets and put it in special bank accounts in Switzerland. Cause the whole economy to down, spiral down. But he said, the thief said, sir, what is the definition of a thief? Alexander said, you take something that doesn't belong to you. That's why I'm having your hand cut off. He said, sir, you've come from Europe, and you have conquered all the land up here to India. Technically, that land doesn't belong to you. You stole it from others. So I'm a little thief. According to your definition, you're a big thief, so they should cut off your head. So as not to be embarrassed, Alexander said, I give clemency to this thief. You let him go. Get him out of here immediately. So kirasho yahina chor chor to kwai. Whether you steal it, cucumber, you steal a diamond, you're a thief. You don't have the permission. So you could say from the bigger perspective, everyone in this world is like thief, because we're taking these material elements, earth, air, fire, water, mind, intelligence, and using them without giving any acknowledgement to the source, without offering any gratitude. For what's nitya nityanam, chaitanas chaitanam, ekabahanam, yovadidati kamam. Out of all the eternals, beings, there's one who's maintaining the desires of all the rest. Who is that? Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha. Nadir Adir Govinda Sarvatan Krishna. So when we steal like that, where's the court case? Where's the judge? Here comes the judge. Does God come down? Hey, that's mine! What did you do? I'm going to have a court case. God presides, like the Christians. Imagine that after all is said and done and you leave this body, you go to court. And who's the judge? God. He's sitting there in a big chair, the long gray beard and white hair. Heaven! Hell! Heaven! Hell! Heaven! Hell! No, wait! No. But he has his ways. He has spies. The David says, we'll tell on you. No, 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 no. I'm going to tell on you. David says, they'll say, there, they have overseeing the property. Krishna's not directly involved, but he has his agents who are administrating. They're devotees, mixed devotion, so they're not in Glok, they're here, but they're given some responsibility to manage the affairs of this universe, and Krishna's just enjoying it. Vrindavan with his unalloyed pure devotees. So those devatas are seeing, and you go before Yamaraj, Lord of Death, and you have the court case. But Lord has his ways of punishing, so to speak, those who take without his permission, which means general society. What does he do? Prabhupada makes it very clear. If people are using the facilities without acknowledging from whence they have come or offering thanks to God for all the facility that he has given us, if we're not in the proper frame of mind, what does he do? He restricts the facilities for some period of time. In modern terminology, that's called sanctions. That's a good word. Just now, like now, the powerful nations of the world, some of the most powerful, fortunately, they're not so bad. Could be worse, Prabhus. America. God bless America. Democratic nations. India. European. When they see some rogue state, some rogue countries harboring some terrorists or developing, you know, nuclear weapons or whatever the case, what do? They impose sanctions on that country. They can't import necessary goods, so the government suffers, the people suffer. It's all to bring them to their senses, so to speak. Those countries renounce their ways, sanctions are lifted. 2 years ago, I think, they lifted sanctions on Libya. And recently, a few weeks ago, they declared that North Korea is no longer a terrorist state like that. So on a greater scale, we're looking at the bird's eye view, way up there at the top, bird's eye view. Everyone's down here exploiting material nature, so Krishna says, sanctions. He restricts things. What does he do? Well, in some places there's too much rain, but many places there's no rain. There's no rain. Then there's no grains. And if there's no grains, people suffer. Fertile parts of the earth have often become like deserts. Polar ice caps are melting. Food is not as nourishing as it used to be. People don't live as long as they used to be. Of course, people have their theories, but we consider it sanctions. It's all predicted. Tatashchanu dinam dharma satyam socham shamadaya. Then, O King, religion, truthfulness, cleanliness, tolerance, mercy, duration of life, physical strength, and memory will diminish day by day, because of the powerful influence of Kali. And we know Kali, of course, is authorized to work by the desire of the Supreme Lord. Nothing is happening by chance. Kali is the agent by which the Lord imposes the sanctions, just like Prabhupada said. People are so angry at Hitler and Stalin and people like that. But they were just agents of the Lord to impose upon people the result of their sinful reactions. Prabhupada saw the bigger picture. He said, he writes in Bhagavatam that actually the cause of World War II was not the bickering between this politician and that. World War II and all the suffering that took place was as a result of mass slaughter of the cows. Well, people will say, oh, how can you conclude something like that? But there's the the immediate cause and there's the remote cause. Immediate cause is this politician or that. But remote cause, there's sinful activities. And eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, the Bible says. Nothing goes on unnoticed. There'll always be reaction. So sanctions are imposed when we misuse, or even a more better word is abuse, these gifts of God. This material nature, we see it as gifts of God. They see it as dry, you know, cold, mechanistic matter, laws of nature. We look at it, we say, oh, it's a gift of God. This is the difference between the vision of a non-devotee and a devotee. We don't see it as just some cold material. This is Krishna's. Krishna helps train us like that in the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Opulence of the Absolute. We're taught to see everything in relationship to Him. Because it's His, not we would never abuse it. We would always want to use it for His pleasure. If you love someone, whatever is connected to that person, you treat it with the same respect as that person. When a mother, little child has gone to school and left behind some belongings, a sweater, some shoes, she thinks, the shoes, this one, my darling. So one who loves God, he loves everything about God. He loves his pastimes in Goloka. He's also interested in hearing about his pastimes as Shiradakshai Vishnu, Garbhadakshai Vishnu in this material world, because it's all part of Dad's pastimes. My father used to come home and he was a sportsman and we'd always do sports things. I couldn't wait. I'm going to play baseball. I'm going to go for a hike. Do this. But I don't want to, hey, Dad, how was work? You don't want to hear. No, I want to hear, Dad, what's it like? You know, advertising business, you know, this cheating. I don't like this work. Okay, Dad, you know. We talked about everything about, but I mostly wanted to play with my father. But I was also interested in hearing everything. So, advanced devotees, they mostly attracted to hearing those Vrindavan pastimes. But the Lord wants to manifest some leelas here. Also, and have this material energy, inferior energy, but it's Krishna's. I remember in the early days, we were so trained like this in ISKCON, when we went on Sankirtan, I remember one time we were doing the neighborhood, and one of my godbrothers had this, what I consider a peculiar habit. We'd go down the street and he would turn off all the sprinklers on the lawns. They've been going on for a long time. They're wasting Krishna's energy. And before we drank water from the water faucet downtown, we'd say, Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu. You remember those days? This is Krishna's elements. Because we love Krishna. This is his energy. The Prabhupada said, attention to detail is a sign of love. You see the pujaris dress the deities here in such perfect, it's the detail that captures our heart, the mood, so we don't, material energy is also, for the time being, we're utilizing it, so we're very attentive to utilize it properly, not to misuse it. And if we misuse it, sanctions imposed upon the earth planet. You watch and see how they've been abusing Lakshmi Devi, the consort of the Lord, in so many greedy ways. You watch and see over the next year or two the sanctions the Lord imposes as there's an economic meltdown. As my son told me on the phone the other day, Pita, it's going to be a bloodbath. I won't go into that, but you know what's happening. Why? Nothing happens by chance. They have their reasons. This company did this company that. No, you were abusing Lakshmi Devi, consort of the Lord. That money is meant to be used for the glorification of Narayan, Krishna. You've been using it for your selfish, greedy nature. Sanctions. Stay tuned and see. How cruel, one may say. How cruel. What kind of God is this? Our God's not like that. Our God's very kind and loving. But wait. Spare the rod, spoil the child. Part of love, loving relationships, sometimes you have to chastise. Father said his relationship with his family, his mother and father, the perfect example. Father was very strict. Mother was very strict. Father was lenient. One time Prabhupada came home. He was naughty. Mother sent him to bed without anything to eat. Father came home later and cooked some puris and took them secretly into the room. And brother, this is the way that you educate children. If they're naughty, you chastise them. Nonsense, you rascal. Then, at appropriate time, you come and embrace them. And you give them love. You explain why you're chastising, and you chastise. But then you come back and you show very deep love. This is how we correct those who are disobedient. So the whole sanctions are there for a reason. God has some sadistic purpose. Just to bring to our senses that we cannot enjoy His property without acknowledging whose nature is this. And it's not enough just to acknowledge that everything we use belongs to God. It's just as important to say thank you. How many times when you were a child did your mother remind you to say thank you? I mean, it's just etched in my heart. My parents would say, I'd guess them, say thank you.
Thanks.
No, not like that. Thanks. No, thank you.
Thank you.
If you get a gift from someone and you don't express your gratitude, don't expect another gift anytime soon or in the future. You get a gift. And what gifts do we get? Hey, I haven't got a gift in a long time. Have you breathed any air today? Have you walked on the earth? Have you drunk any water? Have you eaten any food? Do we stop to think where it's all coming from? We're so senseless. Yes, we are senseless. Because of our sinful activities, we're so covered. We can't acknowledge it belongs to God. And what's more, we don't have a heart to say in Russian, Spasibo.
Большое.
Thank you. Imagine being without these gifts for any period of time. No air for 5 minutes. You can hold your breath. I think you can go underwater. I don't know. There's some world record. What is it? 4 minutes and 38 seconds. You spend longer than that, dead. No air. Everybody hold your breath. No air. No earth to walk on. No sub-G. No curd. No curd sub-G. Curd sub-G means, you know, there's the vegetable juice and there's big pieces of curd floating in it. That's Iskon. Curd sub-G. What? It's Rasa Bas. Sub-G means vegetables. What curd sub-G? This is Iskon's invention. It's what keeps us all good devotees. Curd sub-G. Where's the curd coming from? Life would be pretty miserable. Stop, think, and look around. Where does it all come from? Who's giving? Giving, 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 giving. What's the thank you? How to thank God for what He's giving us? You build a big, you know, staircase and get on top with a ladder. Thank you! No, there's a prescribed method. There's an authorized means when dealing with God. Saha yagna praja shrishtva puru bhacha praja patihi anena prashvish yadvam. Forget the verse. Esha bod vishta kamaduk. In the beginning of creation, the Lord of all creatures sent forth generations of men and demigods along with sacrifices for Vishnu and blessed them by saying, be thou happy by this yajna, because His performance will bestow upon you everything desirable for living happily in this world.
What?
But what's more important, achieving liberation, which culminates in devotion to Krishna. Yajna is an essential ingredient in any civilized culture. Previously, it took the form of Agnihotras here in Bharatvarsha. Svaha, svaha, svaha. Nowadays, as we all know, yajna takes the form of Harinam, Harinam, Hari Nama Eva Kevalam. Kulo Nasteva, 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 Gatiranta. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Nama, Hare Nama. Prabhupada said the translation of the Maha Mantra is, my dear Lord, my dear energy of the Lord, Srimati Radhika, please engage me in your service. Prabhupada had different ways of translating that, approaching the Lord. One time a guest said to Prabhupada in Boston in the early days, 68, Amiji, what does it mean always Hare Krishna, Hare, same words over and over and over and over and over? Prabhupada closed his eyes and said, what does it mean, this Maha Mantra? He said, it means, my friend, my friend, my friend. We can also take it because it's the prescribed yajna for this age. It's the yajna. It's a way of saying, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. You know, you get a gift. Yesterday I took a rickshaw somewhere and so sometimes I just have such a sentiment for the Braj Basis, you know, they're wonderful people. So I gave double the tip. I know I'm not supposed to do it. Probably the administration here will get really angry. You started a precedent. But I gave the guy a couple hundred rupees. It was a 40 rupee ride. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. You know what I did? I gave him another 100 rupees. But that's the nature of love. Love is a two-way street. It's reciprocation. If you, God gives you a thing, you say, thank you, Krishna, thank you. You'll get more mercy than you can deal with. Prabhupada said, the Lord has, his father told little Abai, God has 10 hands. And if he wants, he can take everything from you, what your two hands can hold on to. Prabhupada said, I got scared. But if he wants to give you with his 10 hands, what your two little hands can hold. This is love. So all you have to do is chant to say thank you. The Lord has made it so easy. Even if you wanted to do more, what you consider more, you wanted to offer unlimited wealth and riches, even that wouldn't be satisfactory because it all belongs to Him anyway. But He's so kind, if you just take a little something and offer it with some devotion, chant with some devotion, that will please Him. Like we take a candlelight to offer the sun, we offer some water to Ganges, water back to the Ganges. If you chant the name of God with some devotion, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Nam, Hare Nam. The prosperity will be there. Ananyas chintayanto mam yejana parupashyate. But those who worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, for them, I carry what they lack and I preserve what they have. We're not against material prosperity. That's not our philosophy. Of course, simple living and high thinking, we advocate that. But we're not into unnecessary severe austerities which parch the elements. Oh. Prabhupada said, human life is not meant. It's like, okay, stop the lecture. It's raining dust. Prabhupada said, human life is not meant for solving the problems of material existence under nasty conditions like cats and dogs. We don't have to live like that. The servant is allowed to live in the palace of the king as long as he remembers who's the owner. As soon as he starts thinking, I'm the king, then he gets kicked out. So with that material prosperity, we can peacefully fulfill the goal of life, which is awakening our love for Krishna. So in conclusion, like the material scientists who are interested in hearing about material nature, we're also interested, but not for the purpose of exploiting it, rather to understand it's Krishna's energy, how the Lord is manipulating it all. If you have an analytical mind, you can study these things. We have our scientists in Krishna consciousness. Most important, Prabhupada said, we're not so interested in how it's working, but why it's working. And utilizing it in Krishna's service so we can purify ourselves and awaken our dormant love for God and Krishna. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki Shirabhavopada ki Shishibhadsham Sundar ki Go Premanandi!